get back in the book of Isaiah, possibly after our missions revival. Let me encourage you to, again, mark those dates that I don't know of. I was trying to give them to you Sunday, and they just kept eluding me. I think I've mentioned about three different times, but it's the 2nd. But I mean, some of us will be here on the 2nd of March, but Sunday the 3rd, regular scheduled services. We'll have missionaries teaching our Sunday school classes, and then, of course, 11 o'clock service. Sunday night is going to be a special service where we'll hear from all of our missionaries. It's going to be a special time, and so I want to encourage you to be back Sunday night at 6, and then Monday through Thursday, 7 o'clock. You won't want to miss it. Each missionary will be sharing, and then, of course, Dr. Halls will be preaching. And it's always just a good spiritual time to get our souls fed and to be challenged about this area of world evangelism. Acts chapter number 9, while you're finding your place there, I'm going to read a verse of Scripture once you get there, but I want to share something with you. When I was in my last year of Bible college, I got a call from a church to candidate for the church, and I did, and they wanted me eventually to become their pastor, and I pastored there for 12 years. Fresh out of Bible college, actually I was still in Bible college when I accepted the pastor of the church. I didn't know really a whole lot about the purpose of the church. I knew some things about preaching and different things, not a whole lot, but I knew some things. And so early in my ministry there, I became a little frustrated at, you know, you hear all these things about what a church is to be. And what is a church? And if you ask different people, you get different responses. And so I want to talk to you about that a little bit. I want to tell you, and it's not important really other than it's how God used it in my life. And perhaps God will use something in your life, if he hasn't already, to drive you to understand the purpose of the church. Because the purpose of the church is not recreational. Now, that doesn't mean that a church can't have recreational activities, but that's not the purpose of the church. And God's people said, that's not the purpose for it to be recreational. And again, I want to make this very clear. That doesn't mean that God can't use recreational programs or events in a church as long as they're evangelistic and as long as they're guidelines according to the Scripture. The purpose of a church also is not social. Just so a group of people can get together and have fellowship and ham it up and build friendships. Now again, it's good to have those things. That's a wonderful thing to have. But that's not the biblical purpose of a church. And if you ask a lot of people, that's what they're looking for in a church. You know, I want a church that's just a lot of programs and a lot of children's programs. I have people ask me all the time, so you're the pastor of Fellowship Baptist Church. Yes, I am. Well, I've heard about that church. What do you have going on for the young people? Well, you know what? I'm glad I can tell them. We have quite a bit going on with the young people. And I'm glad I can say that. But that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church, while it's not recreational, it's not social, it's not even cultural. I believe in good manners. I believe a person ought to conduct themselves. A female like a lady. A male like a gentleman. And I just believe that there ought to be a certain way that we conduct ourselves toward people of other gender, people of other race. We just ought to be kind, especially as Christians. You know, the Bible says, as much as is within you is, you ought to live peaceably with all men. But the primary purpose of the church is not cultural. It's not recreational. It's not social. It's not educational. It's not the church's place to educate your children. Right? The Bible says it's the parents' place. That's your place. Now, do we get involved in assisting in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. You read the book of Deuteronomy, it's squarely placed, and throughout the Scripture, squarely placed on the parents to educate their children. It's not the church's place. I'm for a good, solid Christian school system. Okay, I'm for that. But don't think that that's the place or the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is very clear in the Bible. Okay, it's very clear. And I believe in my heart, as it was when I was a young pastor, you hear all these voices, and you hear, well, the church is to do this, the church is to do that, and a lot of it's opinions and preferences. And really everything that I just named, the recreational aspect, the educational aspect, the cultural, the social aspect, There's certainly nothing wrong with those things happening in a church. Much of it happens here, and hopefully one day all of it will. I'm not opposed to it, as long as we don't lose our identity in the process. And I've seen a lot of ministries do that. Okay? And so we don't want to forget what the purpose of the church is. So what is the purpose of the church? Are you thinking? I want you to think. Let that just kind of resonate in your heart and your soul and kind of roll around in your mind some. What is the biblical purpose of the New Testament church? Well, you know, Pastor, you said it wasn't recreational and it's not social, it's not cultural or educational. What is it? Well, it's spiritual. It's to meet the spiritual need. It's not to feed the hungry or clothe the naked. Now listen, again, I'm not opposed to that. I think it's great when in missionary endeavor or even in community outreach, we can get involved in those aspects of ministry. But that is not the purpose of the church. If we're not careful, like many ministries in the past, we can lose our identity. And I think many churches have lost their identity, and it's really confused those outside the church. They begin to ask the question, what is the church? We thought it was where you went and you did this, you sit and you heard spirit-filled music, God-honoring music, and you heard spirit-filled, God-honoring preaching, but now all of a sudden it's turned into all this other thing. I mean, it's like a strip mall or a coffee shop or a concert. I mean, all of these things under the guise of a church. And I really truly believe it's caused the church to lose its purpose and identity in the world. And so we want to stay focused and honed in. What is the purpose biblically? Not what does Pastor Freeman think the purpose of the church is. Okay? Not what some other man thinks the purpose of the church is, but what does the Bible say? Well, I run across this scripture, and years ago it helped me. When I began to really ask myself, what am I doing here? What am I doing? I was pastoring Faith Baptist Church. I was 25, just about to turn 26 years old. And you know, I had some Bible classes. I mean, that doesn't prepare you to pastor. And so I kind of jumped in with both feet, and I just did what I knew to do. I had some good mentors, and I thank God for them. But in all of that, it just kind of drove me right here to the book of Acts. Now, how many of you have ever read the book Pilgrim's Progress? Raise your hand. John Bunyan. Pilgrim's Progress. Okay. The book of Acts has been coined or termed Infant's Progress because the church was born here. All right? And so we see the church begin to grow, and we see the church begin to develop, and we see the church begin to take on purpose in a world around it. And so when I began to study the book of Acts, God began to show me, son, this is the purpose of the church right here. And I want to narrow it down in just this short period of time that we have together so that we can leave here with a clear understanding. Now, we may not have a complete understanding, but at least we'll have a clear understanding on what the purpose of the church is. And it's really not that complicated or complex. Look, if you would, in chapter 9, Acts chapter 9, in verse number 31. I'm going to ask you to underline a couple of words. I'm going to ask you to write a couple of words in your Bible if you write in your Bible. If you don't, then I'm just going to ask you to write it on a sheet of paper because I think you'll want to come back to these words. It'll be very helpful when we begin to maybe answer the question, what's the purpose of Fellowship Baptist Church, to people who may ask, or even in our own minds. As we move forward in ministry, we want to stay focused on what the purpose of Fellowship Baptist Church and really every church should be. So let's read this verse together. Acts 9, verse 31. Then had the churches. Now, I don't want to get into that word right there. Really sums up, it answers some questions. You know, people say, well, you know, I believe in a universal church. Well, this is a plural word right here, okay? See, we believe in local church because God teaches local church. When Paul wrote, he didn't write to a universal church. He wrote to the church which was at Rome. Say amen with me now. And the church which was at Corinth. and the church which was at Ephesus. Now, I understand about the body. Okay, I understand that. But when we're talking about a called out assembly, we're talking about a local church, autonomous, indigenous, okay? We're talking about a called out assembly, ecclesia, a body of believers that have met together and formed the church, the local assembly that God's going to work through, and he gives it a purpose. Now, what is the purpose of a local New Testament church? We're getting ready to see what it is, okay? There were churches. There were local churches that had been established. Then the Bible says in verse number 31, had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now, I want to have a word of prayer, then I want to give you some words to underline and to write, and I want to just give you a simple explanation out of this verse of Scripture as we turn to a few more on what is really the purpose of the church. How should a church be identified? How should a church know its purpose and carry out its God-given purpose in this world? The answer is right here in this verse of Scripture. All right, let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. It is truly quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the answer to all of man's need. It's the answer to the world's problems. And God, I pray tonight it would be the answer in someone's heart who may be searching, what is the purpose of the church? You would use this message to clearly identify the purpose of the church in this world today as you have written it in your word and as you have birthed it in this world. We pray now that you would settle in our hearts that we would not only know this purpose, but we would be actively doing what we should do to fulfill the purpose of the church. And may the name of Jesus be exalted because of it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the two words that I want you to underline here, look if you would in verse 31, there's this word edify. Now, that's a very interesting word. We're going to talk about it a little bit, okay? But for now, I just want you to kind of underline it or highlight it. And here's what I want you to write either beside it or on the piece of paper that you're writing, inside. Inside. Because see, a lot of the work and the purpose of the church happens in the church. Okay? And this word happens in the church. Inside. The edified. See, you can't be edified until you get in the church. Right? The word edified means to be built up. That's what the word edified means. It really is a building term. And so we'll talk about that in just a moment. But edified, it's everything that goes on here for believers. Now, this is a ministry to the saints in the church. Okay, once you become a part of the church, you're in the church, then what goes on in a local called out assembly of believers should be edifying. It should be building up, not tearing down, building up. All right? Building up. And so we want to stay focused on building up the saints of God, building up the people of God. That happens in the church. And then as you read on down, it says in verse 31, and walking in the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. Now there's the second word. So we have edified, that's building up. All right, that happens in the church. Multiplied is adding to, and that happens outside the church. So you multiply outside the church, and as they come in the church from outside, then you can edify them. All right? Now, I've been in ministries, and I've seen ministries. I've been a part of ministry for a little while, and I've seen where churches really get unbalanced here. Like, some churches are all edifying. They're all growing, right? We want to grow. Deeper life. I mean, and you know what? I think every Christian ought to be discipled. You cannot carry out the Great Commission without a discipleship program. There must be discipleship. The Great Commission is not just getting people saved. That's just part of it. Got to get them baptized. Got to teach them, right? That's what the Bible says. And so, edifying, growing, multiplying, going, all right? Going. Now, I've seen churches say, well, you know what? We're all about us. We don't want to go. We just want to have that quality. We're not interested in quantity. We want it just to be our little family here, and we're going to grow, and we're going to be deeper lifers. We're just going to know what the Bible says, and we're just going to dig down in the Bible. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, but except for you're leaving out about half the purpose of the church. Amen. You're leaving out a great purpose of the church, which is what? Going. Why do you grow? So you can go. Right? So you can break it down to this. Going. You know what that is? Finding sheep. Growing. You know what that is? Feeding sheep. What is the purpose of the church? Finding sheep, feeding sheep. What happens when sheep get fed? They find sheep. I've never met a Christian that was growing that didn't want to find more sheep. I've never met a Christian that was growing in the Lord that didn't want to get out and soul win. Didn't want to be a part in the multiplying aspect. So don't tell me how you're growing in the faith if you're not concerned about lost people. I don't mean that to be mean or nasty or slinging mud and throwing you under the bus. I'm just saying don't deceive yourself. Don't tell me how on fire you are for God and how, you know, you just been reading the Bible, staying up late at night reading the Bible. How many people are you witnessing to? Who are you telling about Jesus? How many tears have you shed for a lost soul, you see? That's where it's at. They go together. And so it's finding sheep and then feeding sheep. Once the sheep are fed, they go find more sheep, right? So you find Fred the sheep, okay? You find Fred and you bring Fred in. So you find Fred. Now Fred can come in and get fed. You know what Fred the sheep's going to do when he gets fed? He's going to go out and find some sheep. He just is. There's not a person sitting in here. And if there's one, I want you to raise your hand. When you got saved and you begin to understand, you just had to tell people. You know what happened to the book of Acts? Infants progress. When the church was first born, and you know what happened? They went out and started telling people in such a way that the government in that day said, hey, listen, we want you to stop it. And they said, we can't help. Hey, man, we can't help it. We can't help but speak and say the things which we have seen and heard. And so they went out and told about Jesus. So edified, that means built up. Now, how can we do that? As a church, we don't want to lose our purpose. We don't want to lose our purpose. So let's see how we're doing as a church. Because here's what the Bible said. Now, don't miss this. It says in verse number 31 that the churches were being edified and they were being multiplied. That is the twofold purpose of the church. All right? You can find it in the Great Commission. Go ye and preach the gospel unto every creature. Or go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every nation, right? So you go and you tell people about Jesus, they get saved. That's multiplying. Right? And then what's it say? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Teaching them whatsoever things that I have to observe whatsoever things I have taught you. That's edifying. Right? Come on, folks. Is that right? That's multiplying and edifying. It's in the Great Commission. It's right here. It's all throughout the Bible. That's the purpose of the church. Now, the church is known as a building. Now, actually, the church is known as, if you'll look in the scripture, you'll find three pictures of the church. Very clear. Number one, a building. Ye are the building of God. Is that what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 3? And then it's the body. All right? It's the body. And then it's the bride. Right? Husbands, love your wives, even also as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So we have these three B's that kind of make up the church, okay? It's a building. And as a building, it has a purpose. And then it's the body. And as the body, it has a purpose. And then it's the bride. And as a bride, it has a purpose. And so we see this edifying and we see this multiplying aspect in these three pictures of the church in the New Testament. And so how are we going to edify? How do you build up? Now, some people think you build up by just telling people what they want to hear. That's not building up. Just so you know, that's not building people up. Many times, that's aiding people to be torn down. So what does the Bible say about building people up? Well, I want you to turn to some scripture here, and let's see what the Bible says. Look at the book of Jude. Turn there, if you would, in Jude, verse number 20. This is the one of the ways that we can edify or build up. So as a church now, we are to edify, which means to build up. When you come to church, you need to be built up, right? We need it. Listen, there's enough out there in the world to tear you down. There's an enemy out there that's just chipping away, trying to tear us down, discourage us, and cause us to just say, you know what, I quit. You say, well, preacher, I would never quit. I think the person who quit before you said that too. So be cautious about that. You don't know what you would do. I don't know what I would do. We constantly need to be built up. And so the Bible says in Jude, look if you would in Jude verse number 20. In Jude verse 20, this is what the Bible says. It says, but ye, beloved, and here's our phrase, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the way you build yourself up, in faith. All right? You build yourself up in faith. Now, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, Romans 10, 13, or 17, Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so one of the ways that you can have strong faith now is to place yourself under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God regularly. All right, that's the way you get built up, in the faith. So here it is. Now, it's your responsibility. So, well, nobody came by and invited me to church. I've been living here for 6 months, and nobody came and invited me. I'm a Christian, and nobody came. You go find you a church. Look what the Bible says now in verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves. You get in church. You're saved. Find you a good Bible-believing church and get in it. And you found one if you're here. Amen. And you're in it, and I thank God for that. So keep building yourself up. Keep building yourself up. This is a great element of edifying. The faith. The faith. I want to show you something right quick in the book of Romans. Turn there. We're going to turn to some scriptures. Romans chapter 1. This is a tremendous saying in Romans 1 about faith and about the church at Rome. Faith. So you get under the Word of God, you listen to the preaching, you read your Bible, you listen to in your Sunday school class. You ought to take every opportunity. And you know what? I realize I'm quote unquote the proverbial preaching to the choir here, okay? You're here on Wednesday night. Most people who come to church on Wednesday night are Sunday schoolers, they're Sunday morner, they're Sunday nights, Wednesday night. I mean, they're revival meeting. They're faithful. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. We ought to encourage other people. Listen, you need to be edified. Why don't you come to Sunday school? Come back to our Sunday night services. It's a little different. You know, we have a little different approach. Our Wednesday night, come to our special meetings. We have good speakers, and they'll feed your soul. It'll be good for you. You'll be edified. You'll be built up when you place yourselves under the preaching and teaching of what Fellowship Baptist Church has to offer. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only place that you come. Certainly on Sundays and Wednesdays, but if other churches, Bible-believing churches, have good Bible-believing preachers and Bible-preaching preachers, go sit and listen to them. Listen to it on media, social media. There's other ways. All right, now look at chapter 1 of Romans. Look at verse number 8. What a statement this is. What a statement. Look at this statement. He said, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Now look at this statement. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. What? That's something. You know, a lot of churches are known for maybe the beautiful building or the dynamic music program or maybe even a dynamic preacher as their pastor. Look at what Paul said that the church at Rome was known throughout the whole world for. He said, your faith, in verse number 8, is spoken of throughout the whole world. You say, preacher, does it mean that? It said it. Amen? That's what it said. I believe God means what he says. And says what he means. Wouldn't it be wonderful if Fellowship Baptist Church could have that testimony? That's very edifying. That's very encouraging. And so faith builds up. Let me say something about faith, and then I'm going to move on because I've got just a few more things before I get to a final point, and then we'll be through, okay? I really believe this about faith. I believe I can show this in the Scripture. We can either do ministry in our energy and by what we think we can accomplish, which, by the way, will be very little. We normally are way below God's standard when we approach ministry that way. Or we can do ministry according to God's word, believing that God, through faith and our faith in Him, is going to do great and mighty things, and we can reach our fullest potential. Now, the fullest potential for Fellowship Baptist Church may not be the potential for another ministry. So we don't want to compare ourselves with other ministries. Well, they're running 1,000. We ought to run 1,000. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to know that, okay? But there's a potential that God will lock in a ministry. And that ministry can reach its potential when we unleash the faith that God can do what He has put in as far as potential into that ministry. Does everybody understand what I just said? So we don't want to look at this and say, well, you know, we've got this man and this couple and this lady and that man. So I think we can do this. That's not what God wants. We want to be edified, want to be built up, not by what our abilities are, but by what God can do as we believe Him by faith to do it, right? You know what a great ministry is? It's a ministry with great faith. I want to encourage you. Don't limit what God can do in your life. Far too many individuals, far too many families, far too many ministries have really missed out on all that God had for them because they did not exercise faith to reach God's fullest potential in their lives or ministry. So faith. Now, number two, turn to 1 Corinthians just for a moment. In 1 Corinthians, and we'll see a second. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. So there's faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we have another building block, another tool that God uses to edify people. Look at verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but watch this next phrase. Charity edifieth. All right? So, faith builds you up. But you know what else will build you up? Love. When you come to a place and you know what? Those people love me. And they give me an opportunity to express my love to others. Love is not just a one-way street. You know, we all have the need to be loved, but we also all have a need to love. God has built that in us because we're made in the image of God. And so a church that makes love a priority, charity a priority, is a church where people can be built up. Wouldn't it be something if you came to church tonight and no one shook your hand? No one even spoke to you. No one really cared about you. I don't think you'd be back. I don't know if you've ever been into a cold church, but if you have, then I think it wouldn't take you long to be very appreciative of the love that God has placed here in this congregation of believers. Are we perfect? By no means. But there is love exercised here. And love is what a ministry should be built on. It's edifying. Love is edifying. You know what you do when you love people? You minister to them. Right? You minister to people you love. It's not a duty. It's a delight when you love them. So this is what, when Paul said, you know, that churches, the inside job is to grow, to be edified, to be built. And that should be on faith. So there should be Bible preaching, Bible teaching. Your faith needs to be stretched. You need to be challenged to get outside of yourself and get into what God can do outside of what your abilities alone are, or our abilities as a people, and get outside of that and realize what God can do. All right? So there's faith. That edifies. Love edifies. It builds up. You want to change somebody's life? Love them. Love them. You'll change their life. Love changes people's lives. You say, preacher, that's just so, that sounds like cheesy. That's weak. Yeah, I know. But it's God's way. Love people. Love people. You shouldn't have to tell Christians to love people. But we're twisted that way. We have to be told to love people. Husbands even have to be told to love. Here's a man who's going to marry a woman, and God has to say, oh, by the way, sir, you need to love her. Amen. Right? Oh, but I do. I do. Come here. No, no, no. Love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Right? That love. Faith. Love. Let's look at another one. All right, turn in your Bible. These are things that build up the church. Look, if you would, in chapter 14 of Corinthians. Chapter 14, 1 Corinthians. These are things that the Bible says that builds us up. This is why we come to church. I come to church so I can see what people are wearing. You're coming for the wrong reason. You're not getting anything out of church. Amen? You're getting nothing out of church. Well, I come to see my friends. You're getting nothing out of church. You're not spiritual, you see. The church is a spiritual institution. You should be coming, if you're a sheep, you should be coming to be fed. If you're lost, you should be coming to be found. And so here the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 14, look if you would in verse number 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Watch this next statement. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church, builds up the church. You know what? You need some preaching. Now, I'm not talking about a guy sitting on a stool giving you a little essay. I'm talking about some hellfire and brimstone, shingle shaking, or in our case, metal roof shaking, preaching. I mean, just preaching the word of God to you and telling you, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said. And laying it down. Not doing it in love, but don't leave any of it out. If God said it, preach it. Well, preacher, some of them might not like it. Well, preach it anyway. If it's in God's word, do it with the right heart. Do it with love. Do it with the right motive. But if God said it in his word and God's laid it out there, preach it. Preach it. Why? Because it builds people up. And sometimes, before God can build us up, he's got to tear us down a little bit. Right? See, God has a way of doing that. You know what conviction is? If you've ever been saved, you know what conviction is. Can I tell you, the night that God saved me, he took me to the very bottom before he took me to the top. I mean, God took me down before he picked me up. Why? Conviction will do that. Conviction will be thorough with you, and then God will deal with you right where he finds you. And so here the Bible says that preaching, prophesying, it edifies. So faith builds up, right? Is that what the Bible said in Jude? Faith builds up. Faith. Love builds up. Love edifies. It builds up. Now knowledge puffs up. Well, you know, we know a lot. Well, what are you doing what you know? See, if we're not careful and all we want to do is come to church to learn, we'll turn into just a bunch of know-it-all Pharisees. Amen. And we don't want to be that. We'll think, well, we're better than them. We're better than this congregation. We're better than this denomination. We're better than these Christians because we know more. It doesn't matter what you know. What matters is what you do with what you know. See, there may be someone that knows 5% and they're doing 5% of what they know. 100%, I should say, which is 5%, right? So if you know 5% and you're doing 100%, some people might say, well, they're just doing 5%. Well, they're doing 100% of what they know. That's better than doing 50% and doing 2%. What you know is not always the main thing. It's what are we doing with what we know. And God's going to hold us accountable for that. So, one more thing about building up, and this will be the final thing before we get our final I'm going to talk to you about going a little bit. And then we'll close. Turn, if you would, to Acts. Turn to Acts chapter number 20. Turn there. And so you say, preacher, how can I be edified? Well, you can be edified by exercising your faith. Exercise your faith. Prove God. If God said, do it, trust Him and do it. God's never lied. God's not a man that He should lie. God cannot lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Claim His promise. Carry out His promises. Live them. His precepts. Faith. And then love. Let God love through you. The Bible says in Romans 5:5 that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. God will love people through you that you and I would never be able to love, but if we yield to God, He can love them through us. He can. Love. And then there's prophesying. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, then testify. Those two words are closely connected. You testify to others what God is doing in your life, and it'll build them up. All right? Now, in Acts chapter number 20, look if you would, in Acts 20 and verse number 32. All right? This is the final thing, and I'm talking to you about edifying. Why? Because God wants to work in the church. See, the church is important. We live in a day where people just treat church like, well, you know what, we're going to go if nothing else is going on. Well, shame on those kind of folks. Listen, if you're saved, I don't think you can have that kind of attitude and be right with God. You need to be in church. You need to be in church so you can be being edified, because you need to be built up in your most holy faith. We all do. And there's many things. You need to be exercising your spiritual gifts. There's so many things and purposes, not only for the church, but for you in the church. Edifying. Acts 20, look at verse number 32. In Acts 20, verse 32, this is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace. And look at this next phrase, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said, God's word is able to build you up. Spend time in this book. Meditate. Read it. Memorize it. It'll build you up. Edifying. The purpose of the church is to edify. It's to build people up. Why? The world will tear you down. Sin will break you down. The enemy will break you down. This ought to be a place where people can come and be built up and feel just renewed, have a spirit of renewal when they leave. Folks ought not to... Listen, I realize sometimes when there's preaching just straight on sin, sometimes it'll break us down. But if we do our due diligence now, when God exposes sin in our life, God doesn't leave us there to bleed out. He'll lead us right to an altar where He can put the healing balm of Gilead into those wounds, into those places where He has opened up in our lives, and He'll bring a healing. And when we rise up from a time of praying and confession, God will give us a renewal and a cleansing that'll make us feel liberated and free. You ought to know about that. If you come to church week after week after week, and God, you will not allow Him to speak to you, and you will not allow Him to deal thoroughly with you, you will leave as you came, and you will not be edified. But if you will come with an open heart and a receptive mind, and you allow the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the Word of God deal in your heart and open up areas and bring conviction and bring correction. And when you come, when you're reproved and you bow before God humbly and say, God, work in my life. God, do something in me. I need cleansing. And God cleanses and forgives. You'll get up and feel renewed in the power of the Lord. You'll leave here with a little bit of spring in your step because of been built up, you've been edified. Now, it says, back in Acts chapter 9, it says, not only were they edified, but they were multiplied. And I don't have time to go into this because I said I was going to close at a certain time, but I want you to know something. The multiplication of the church is just as important as the edification of the church. Just as important. You cannot be a Bible-based New Testament church if all you're doing is edifying. You have to be going and multiplying. No church has the right to to call itself a New Testament Bible-believing church that is not reaching the lost. Now hear me. Through many avenues, it could be outreach soul winning, it could be bus ministry, it could be seed sowing by canvassing areas, it could be world evangelism by partnering with missionaries around the world. But the church ought to be involved in multiplying. So, well, God's not concerned about numbers. Well, in the time we have left, I just want to give you a couple of verses that will refute that statement. You know, I've had people tell me that over the years. When I pastored at Faith Baptist Church, our church was growing. We built a building. We grew out of where we were meeting in. We built a building. We grew out of that. We started building another one. And people in the community, as long as we were a little old 20-member church, everybody loved me. But when we started building buildings and people started getting saved and we started to have baptismal service, then all of a sudden they didn't like me too much. You know why? When you start doing something for God, the enemy gets roused up. Well, I guess we could fill up a church if we fed them a hot dog. We ought to do something to fill it up. Amen. Yours is empty. I like the way we do it better than the way you don't. When you have to borrow someone's baptism in the community, at the baptistry, and you have to clean it out before you can use it, and all they have is negative news because you're baptizing 20, 40, 50 people, they're jealous. People get jealous when you start doing God's work. Listen to me now, I'm telling you. And you'll hear that about this ministry. Well, you know, they're down there, they're feeding the kids on the bus route. They're giving them suckers. Well, you know, the bank gives them suckers too. We've got one on the bank. We give them suckers and tell them about Jesus. So listen, not everyone's going to use the same methods as long as they're not out of bounds. And the Bible says, turn to Acts if you would, in Acts chapter number 2. People say, well, you know, we're not concerned about numbers. Well, God is, just so you know. He's so concerned about it, he named a book Numbers. And here in Acts chapter number 2, in verse number 41, it says, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them. And God wanted you to know exactly what that number was, 3,000. So don't tell me God's not concerned about numbers. Now, if that becomes your only thing, you're going to mess up. You're going to mess up. If that's the only reason you're in ministry, we're not just in the ministry to multiply. See, we got to balance it out with edify. You see what God's doing here? It's not just all go, you got to grow. It's not all just multiply, you got to edify. It's not all just go find sheep, you got to feed them. God always has a balance, you see. And that's the purpose of the church. Look in chapter 2 and verse number 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added. That sounds like a numbers word there. Sounds like a word that's affiliated with numbers, added. Then if you'll turn, and I don't have time because I want to close, but I want to show you how things picked up in the church. They went from adding, look in chapter number 6. The Bible says in chapter 6 and verse number 1, in those days when the number of the disciples were, what's that next word? Multiplied. I tell you, this church was really getting it done. They went from adding to multiplying. And then the Bible says over in, this is chapter 6, the Bible says over in chapter 6 and verse number 7, the word of God increased. Look at that, chapter 6, verse 7. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And then in chapter 9, Paul said the churches had rest and were edified and multiplied, because that's what the purpose of the church is. Multiply, you edify, and then once they're edified, they go back out and begin to multiply. And then they bring those others in and they're edified, and then they go out and bring others in, or they go back out and multiply as they bring others in to be edified. That's the purpose of the church. Now, it's broke down in many different ways. There's many different ways to edify, and there's many different ways to multiply. All right? So we want to stay focused on that. We have missions conference. Missions conference primarily is about multiplying. All right? But there's an aspect of missions conference that is edifying. It builds us up. How does that happen, preacher? Because God allows us to become part of one of the greatest ministries of the church. We get to partner with people as they multiply. Guess what? It's added to our account. It's added to our account. All right? So let's not lose our focus. Let's not lose our identity. So many churches just, they get unbalanced. And so as we approach our missions conference, I want you to think about that. Let's stand to our feet. All right? Edifying. Multiplying. Two very important words. Edifying in the church. Multiplying outside the church.